A week is a long time in politics, and no one knows that better than Phil Hogan this morning. He resigned last night as EU Trade Commissioner following days of controversy surrounding his travel within Ireland, which breached COVID-19 guidelines. Phil Hogan was also, of course, one of 81 people who attended the Oireachtas Golf Society event in County Galway last week. And the search is on now for his replacement. Joining me first to discuss this is Elmer Brock, who served as a German MEP for almost 40 years. He's now a member of the board of the European People's Party and president of the European Federalist Group. So, Elmer Brock, good morning to you. And now that Phil Hogan has resigned, in your opinion, will Ireland be able to keep that trade portfolio in the European Commission?
Look, I cannot say that, but it must be in candidate which should be able to do that job in this difficult time. Phil Hogan was perfect in that as a former commissioner for agriculture, but also as an Irish person who I think would be an asset for all of us to negotiate, for example, with the United States. And he was, as a person, a strong, clever negotiator, and he had all that impact and this credibility. And because this is one of the most important tasks, that will be very important that a qualified person will be nominated for that. I think that will be the condition for Mrs. von der Leyen to make her choice.
It sounds like you regret that he had to go.
I regret it very much. I know him since many years. He was a reliable, friendly man, but with a strong opinion and a tough, very tough negotiator. And therefore, I saw him as one of the strongest commissioner in this present commission. Therefore, I'm really, really unhappy. And I also believe that an Irish commissioner with such a standard would be a perfect man to negotiate with Washington.
But you clearly have been following what's been happening. Do you accept that he had to go in light of his breach of the COVID-19 regulations?
Look, I do not know how the debate in Ireland was, and I have heard that also other politicians had to resign because of that. And therefore, I cannot say what that impact had. But I regret it really. But I always said, if someone makes a mistake, he has always the right to get a second chance. And that Europe gets rid of such a personality is a loss for Europe.
Mm-hmm. But he was given opportunity after opportunity to explain, and more details kept emerging, and there didn't seem to be a full picture on offer until right at the very end.
No, I do not know that in details in the internal Irish debate and the debate in the media. So I was really surprised as I heard the news that he resigned. And for sure we have to see that politicians should be given example in order to tell the people to apply to the rules to fight the COVID-19 and to keep the credibility of that. But on the other side, we had also in Germany cases where politicians made a mistake, but not by the first time. They had to resign. And here I think second chance is always a good thing.
So you're saying he should have been given a second chance. I see from what you say earlier that you deeply regret he's had to go. You think it's a huge loss. You think that loss was too high a price for him to pay.
I think it was really a loss because I do not see at the moment a similar personality with all his background. Sure, it might be give someone who can do that. But if I see that in all the trade fights with China and the United States, the difficult situation of trade and economics in this COVID-19 time, all that I think would make it possible that only the best persons take that job.
Mm-hmm. And are you also saying then that the European Union's ability to negotiate major trade deals depends on one individual, the trade commissioner?
Nobody is so strong that he cannot replace in a certain way. But in this special case, I believe he's personally played a role. Therefore, I think he was chosen by purpose, and it was welcomed by everyone. And I've see the ratification process, for example, in the European Parliament. He was the commissioner with nearly no problems in that nomination process. That is a sign that he has, above other parties and party lines, a lot of credibility.
Mm-hmm. But he also said a couple of short months ago that he was interested in the World Trade Organization job. He was willing to walk away not so long ago.
Look, to have him there in that position would also be a good thing. I think it's to have Europe, someone from Europe in that position, such a strong personality would be a good thing. I always preferred that he would stay in Brussels. But to have him in WTO or Brussels, it's better in any case than to have him nowhere.
There's a lot of speculation here, Elmer Brok, about who might replace Phil Hogan. And I know that you'll know some of the people who have been mentioned. The former Taoiseach and now Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, or our Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney, or Mairead McGuinness. Have you anything to say about any of those candidates?
No, they're all very strong. I know them all very well. Simon was also a member of the European Parliament. The Taoiseach, former Taoiseach, was a strong Taoiseach. And Mrs. McGuinness is one of the most prominent members of the European Parliament. And therefore, all three of them could play a major role in that. But they had not an experience as a commissioner until now, as Phil Hogan had it. But if someone out of that circle would come, it might be a chance that Ireland can keep this position.
Okay, so you'd need somebody, you're saying, of that calibre in order to keep the trade portfolio.
Yeah, I think absolutely sure. And people also with this political experience they have.
Do you think at the end of all of this, as we get to this point where Phil Hogan has resigned, that Ireland's reputation is damaged as a result of this controversy?
No. I think such a mistake you have in every country. And therefore, I think Ireland itself is not not in a bad position. I think this should not be taken too seriously. We have in all our countries politicians who have failed and have to resign, and this is not an Irish exception.
Mm-hmm. We won't be seen to have given the European Commission a big problem to deal with at a difficult time.
That is not Ireland. This is a case of one personality in the decision it was taken in Ireland and himself took to resign. But that is not we, Ireland. I think Ireland is in a good position, and we should keep all the possibilities of Ireland in this international relationship.
What about the reputation of Phil Hogan?
I think many people will feel what I have seen also as a result of discussion with many people, that the big majority of people is unhappy that he has resigned.
People and, people in your circle, people you've spoken to.
I hope I can stay personally in contact with Phil Hogan, and I hope that he will not outside the world now and will play his role in the future. Okay. He's still a young man.
Elmer, thank you very much for joining us today. In the last few minutes, the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has been speaking about Phil Hogan's resignation. Here's some of what she said.
Over the past days, I discussed with Phil Hogan about his movements in Ireland. In light of information that emerged regarding respect of public health guidelines in Ireland. In the current circumstances, as Europe fights to reduce the spread of the coronavirus, and Europeans make sacrifices and accept painful restrictions, I expect the members of the College to be particularly vigilant about compliance with applicable national or regional rules or recommendations. In accordance with Article 246 of the Treaty, it is up now to the Irish government to present suitable candidates for Commissioner of Irish Nationality. As in the past, I will invite the Irish government to propose a woman and a man. Executive Vice President Valdis Dombrovskis will assume at interim responsibilities for trade matters. And at a later stage, I will decide on the final allocation of portfolios in the College of Commissioners. Thank you.
All right. Well, then she has outlined the scale of what's facing the Irish government here. Present two suitable candidates, one male, one female, and then ultimately the President of the European Commission will make the decision about the final allocation. And you heard her also say that she expects commissioners to be vigilant about regional rules with regard to COVID-19 restrictions. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by John Downing, political correspondent at the Irish Independent. Darren McCaffrey, political editor at Euronews, is on the line. And we'll be talking to two Irish MEPs, Maria Walsh from Fine Gael and Billy Kelleher from Fianna Fáil. John, first to you. I have to say to you now, the last time I spoke to you, you thought he wouldn't go.
I did, yeah. That's another one I got wrong, Claire. I spoke to you on Tuesday, just before the Angelus bell, so to speak. At that stage, yes, I thought it far more likely that he would sit this one out. Two things happened. I think it was an unfortunate interview from his point of view with Tony Connolly on Tuesday night. And I think the statement from the Irish government, which followed soon afterwards, was crushing. It was unprecedented. And I think that put the kibosh on him. And I think his position was really untenable from that point.
Okay, so now, as Ursula von der Leyen outlined there, we look ahead and we have got to send two names to her to nominate us as our EU commissioner, a man and a woman. Who makes that ultimate call?
Traditionally, this has always been down to the Taoiseach. We go right back to the start, 1973, Jack Lynch proposing, or basically appointing to all intents and purposes, his colleague Paddy Hillary, later Liam Cosgrove, and so on. Coalition does call for consultation with the coalition partners. Enda Kenny appointed Phil Hogan, but he had to get clearance from the Labour side of the House at that stage, and there are certain trade-offs within government for that. This coalition is a very different setup, and I think it will be the Taoiseach, in a sense, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, It's going to be a complicated one. There is a wide field, but the big issue is, can Ireland make a bid to get to hold on to that trade portfolio in a time of impending Brexit calamity, or, failing that, can they get a post of significance and political relevance? There are nominally 27 commissioners at the commission table. Kindest estimate, there are a dozen jobs. There are some real dud jobs. People would be nice to the commissioner for tea bags and paper clips, but that's about as far as it goes.
Okay, just some interesting reaction coming in to us after that interview with Elmer Brock. Well done, Ireland. We've shot ourselves in both feet. Here, here. Says another listener, very well said by Elmer Brock. Hope everyone is happy now. What did you make of what he had to say, John?
It's very clear that somebody of Elmer Brock's stature, what he had to say about Phil Hogan, cannot be lightly set aside. I personally was astonished. I worked in Brussels for 10 years. I'm a frequent visitor to Brussels. I was astonished at the speed with which Phil Hogan got the whole machinations and the maelstrom and the hothouse bubble that is Brussels, how he made sense of it and made his own of it. And whether or not he is to people's political taste, or whether or not they find his public image attractive or otherwise, that is not entirely relevant. The point is, the performance speaks for itself. He did 5 years there in charge of agriculture, which gave him control of 40% of the budget. At the end of that 5 years, he was renominated, and effectively he was promoted to a very pivotal role of trade commissioner. I noted on the political magazine Politico yesterday, they described the job of EU trade commissioner as among the most powerful and relevant in Brussels.
Okay, I want to go to Darren McCaffrey, political editor of Euronews. Darren, thanks for joining us again. I don't know if you got to hear what Almer Brock had to say, but he says he very much regrets the fact that Phil Hogan is no longer trade commissioner. Does that mirror the reaction you've been hearing around the place from Europe at the resignation?
Yeah, I think it does to a degree. There's no doubt that Phil Hogan, you know, was admired. He was viewed as being pretty competent. You know, this is a man who only last week scored a victory with the United States in terms of lowering tariffs on certain goods. And, you know, that's in the midst of a really difficult trading relationship with Donald Trump, and one that is not going to ease soon. But, you know, you listen to someone like Martin Selmayr. Now, many people will not have heard of him, but he was essentially the most senior official under Jean-Claude Juncker, a very, very powerful figure in Brussels. And he calls him Big Phil in a tweet that he sent out, saying that he was a key actor over the last 5 years. And he argues that without him, there would have been no EU-Japan trade deal. There would have been no Juncker Trump deal when it came to soya beans. He says it may have been a mistake, but you have left big shoes to fill. And I think that is a sign of, amongst the officials here in Brussels, and indeed some senior MEPs and ex-MEPs like Almer Brock, who think that, you know, this was a big guy, a powerful guy in Brussels. And, you know, the trade post, along with competition, are probably two of the most powerful posts inside the EU Commission. Mm-hmm.
But all that being said, Darren, I know you've been following the story here. He was left with no choice, surely. You would agree with that.
Yeah, I think when it came down to it, what did him in some ways, was not the initial mistake or mistakes, but ultimately was the fact that this story had caught fire and there was no sign that it was going out. The day after day, there were seemingly fresh allegations, fresh claims, fresh rule breaking, essentially. And it got to a point, I think, inside the Commission and to Ursula von der Leyen, where they thought that this is reputationally doing us too much harm, that he has not been as open and frank to begin with as he should have been. And at the end, there was one direction of travel for Phil Hogan, that every day seemed to be getting worse. And that while she did not want to essentially force his resignation, I think it must have been made clear to him that at some point this cannot carry on, and that he was then forced to make that decision himself. But what is interesting, and we heard it in that statement just from Ursula von der Leyen here, is that now that she feels that commissioners need to be accountable to people as well, that's not really being what the commission's been about up until now. It's primarily been accountable to the boss, the president, and to the European Parliament, not really to the public mood. But clearly the coronavirus crisis has changed that. And it is interesting, she said, that all commissioners now need to be very alert and aware to the rules in individual member states.
Okay, Darren, stay on the line if you can, because I'd like to come back to you, but I want to bring in Maria Walsh, Fine Gael MEP, who joins us on the line now. And where do you stand on this discussion we're having this morning, Maria Walsh, about Phil Hogan? We had Almer Brock very, very regretful that Phil Hogan had to go, and yet anyone who knows, who's been following the machinations of the story here, knows that he probably, at the end of the day, as he knew himself last night, had to go.
Good morning, Claire, and thanks very much for having me on. You know, picking up from Mr. Brock's sentiments, you know, I'm disappointed that we have lost such a big personality in the European bubble. The fact that he had an Irish accent certainly helped in various roles, and as we both know, currency networking is a currency, and Irish, the diplomatic work that we have had numerous people go through since 73 when we joined, has certainly put us on an amazing pedestal now when we have so much movement on the political landscape. From a political standpoint, the fact that accountability has to be served, you know, and a number of people made a decision to attend an event last week that they shouldn't have, and therefore accountability has to be placed on them to do the right thing. But setting aside that, we now have what we're moving into now. We're 126 days away from Brexit. Mm-hmm. It's not just you know, from someone who represents Midlands Northwest. You know, we have a number of border counties We have ports in Rosseville and Killybegs. We have a fishing issue when you think of our waters.
I think everyone knows and agrees it's a really challenging time. So who would you like to see replace him as EU commissioner?
I really don't know. I'm delighted to see, though, our President Commission has gone back to her initial ask of all countries in the European Union for a male and a female name. And then we got to allow her to do her job, and it's down to our party leaders to put forward a name. Okay. But I certainly would like a strong candidate who can, like I said, 126 days away, they need to pick up this portfolio and run with it quickly.
Okay, Billy Kelleher, MEP, is also on the line. Welcome to you and good morning to you. Do you feel sorry for Phil Hogan this morning?
Well, look, on a personal level, I mean, I've been in politics a long time. You never enjoy somebody having to resign. It certainly is, from a personal perspective, a huge setback in one's career. And beyond that, then there's a lot of people that are dependent on the person that is resigning. There's many people out there that would have been working in Phil Hogan's cabinet who are Irish, who've moved families, who've life upheaval now facing them. So from a human perspective, it clearly is a very, very difficult moment. But beyond that, look, I mean, the position came to a head yesterday, and Mr. Hogan made his decision, I think, in the interest of the Commission and in the interest of the Irish government in truth. He saw that to continue on would create huge difficulties, both for the Irish government, but from his perspective, European Commission as well. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he did resign, now allows the Commission to get on with its job of finding a suitable candidate on foot of the Irish government making nominations of a man and a woman to ensure that there's gender balance opportunities for President von der Leyen to make that appointment.
Who should get the job?
Well, look, I mean, from my perspective, I will be adjudicating as a Member of the Parliament on who will be nominated by the Commission Presidents. Certainly, we do need to take into account gender balance. There's no doubt about that. We also need to see, can we hold on to the trade portfolio? And it's not because the trade portfolio is a plum job. It's because of the impact that the trade portfolio has on Ireland from a national perspective. We're a global open trading economy. We're one of the most global trading economies in the world. We have Brexit very much on top of us. So to have somebody that would have a philosophy and an outlook that is consistent with Irish industrial policy and trading policy for many years would be a very important factor.
And do you think we can? Just listening to Elmer Brock there, he didn't seem to be very confident that Ireland would hold on to that trade portfolio. I mean, how do you think we would do it? We would have to send through some very strong candidates to be in with a shout.
Yes, you'd have to send forward very, very strong candidates. There's no doubt about that. Even if we can't hold on to the trade portfolio, which would be a huge ask, I mean, we should still send forward very strong candidates to try and ensure that we get a commission portfolio that's relevant and important. And John Downing did highlight, there's a commission president or a commissioner from every country. So the commission is quite a large body, and some of them have, small portfolios or portfolios that may not have a major impact. So we do need to send forward strong personalities. I think political personalities are people with huge experience in the area of trade from the public service or the administrative side of things may give us a chance of holding on to that portfolio. I just want to say one thing about Phil Hogan. I mean, in fairness, I mean, like, he's gone, he's resigned. There was all the talk about it, and it was a very emotive issue for the Irish people. But just in the context of the border and Ireland and all of that around Brexit, the one thing I can say is he was very much hands-on in the whole issue of trying to keep the border very much to the fore in the European context and making sure that it wasn't forgotten about in the context of the negotiations between the UK and the European Union. And okay. I just think that is important to say that, because I saw that firsthand in my interactions with him as a member of the European Parliament and even before that as a TD.
Billy Kelleher and Maria Walsh, MEPs, thank you for joining us. Darren McCarthy, just a quick word from you on the process now, because we heard what Ursula von der Leyen had to say about the candidates being put forward by the Irish government, but how long does the whole process take?
Well, so we've never really been here before. Well, we were temporarily, less than 10 years ago when a similar thing happened. So these nominees will go forward. Clearly, Ursula von der Leyen, and it must be said, Emmanuel Macron, who's a big supporter of hers, have made a concerted effort to try and have gender balance within the commission. Interestingly, they just fell short of that at the end of last year with her first commission. This may be an attempt to try and properly readdress that. So essentially, the nominees will go forward. I would suspect it shouldn't take very long. I mean, you're talking about a matter of weeks. It'll then be up to her to decide on which one she will want to take up that post. And then there'll have to be a ratification process in the European Parliament where MEPs get to grill the nominee before they get fully ratified. But there is a wider political battle at stake here now as well, Claire. You know, this is not just about can Ireland hold on to the trade post. It's about what Europe's trade should be in the future. And, you know, Ireland's one of these nations, as Billy was pointing out, that likes to view itself as an open economy that's open to world trade. And that's a view shared by some of the Nordic countries and the Netherlands, for example, but not necessarily by all. And there is a battle about protectionism when it comes to trade. And some powerful countries like France and Italy and Spain and others potentially might want to grab this post. Because they would see it as a way of ensuring that European trade follows a path they would like to follow.
And I'd say that's an understatement. I'd say they're all looking at that vacant role today with eager eyes. Darren, thank you very much for joining us again on the programme today. John Downing, just to come back to you on this, bringing it back home again, because a lot of people were talking about how this would impact the government. And we know they've had a rough couple of months. And some commentators were saying, look, this was the government over the weekend and in the early days of this week showing a united front on this issue. How do you think it will impact the Micheál Martin government, led government?
Well, it seems such a shame that they would take unity from such a negative, taking out, potentially losing a very influential post in Brussels. If it requires that to generate coherence and unity in a very diffuse and messy coalition right now, then I think that I don't see much positive to be taken from that reflection. They clearly have a big fight on their hands. They're going to have to quickly agree a person, a nominee, a heavy hitter who can command, be in the running for a serious post. You heard President von der Leyen there saying she intends to reshuffle the commission. This time last year, precisely, President von der Leyen was looking for two names, a man and a woman, and Ireland blithely ignored that because they said, we have Phil Hogan, and not much was made of that. Now that demand is very visible. So that is an additional issue that's going to have to be addressed.
Okay. John, thank you very much again for being with us. John Downing there from the Irish Independent. Coming up on the programme, we're going to be talking about the challenges facing students and indeed parents of students who have special needs as they return to school.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.